Good morning. This is Neil Strasser with the CBS World News Roundup. Rhodesia this morning has reported a massacre of British missionaries near its border with Mozambique. At the same time it denies charges, Rhodesian troops have crossed that border. Robin Wright has more from Johannesburg.
In a brief military communique, Rhodesian authorities said that guerrillas rounded up the 13 white missionaries, members of their families, as well as the black children who attend the mission school. It said the guerrillas then hacked the whites to death in front of the black children. One of the 13 was a month-old baby. Seven were young girls. The Department of Information says the missionaries were members of the Elam Pentecostal Church, based in England. This is the most serious attack to date on a mission station. Missionaries have increasingly become a target of Soviet-backed guerrillas. Five white missionaries have been killed by guerrillas in the past 3 weeks, including an American Baptist. Meanwhile, Rhodesian authorities have adamantly denied reports that Rhodesian troops have raided Mozambique. A report from Mozambique claimed Rhodesian forces killed 17 refugees and two Belgians working about 17 miles from the Rhodesian-Mozambique border in an attack that began Thursday night. The Mozambique communique said fighting was still going on. Robin Wright, CBS News, Johannesburg.
Britain's Prime Minister James Callaghan is flying to Washington today to talk to U.S. aircraft companies about joint projects that might revitalize British industry. Callaghan, in the meantime, is threatened with a probable fall election. Liberal Party leaders in Britain say they will pull out of his government and topple his minority Labour coalition if he doesn't call the elections. President Carter winds up his Texas visit today witnessing a firepower demonstration at Fort Hood. The Army apparently has gotten the economy word the president has been spreading in Texas and now says the demonstration, first billed as costing $2 million, has been cut back to less than half the planned size. Mr. Carter fired some volleys of his own last night at inflation and other problems. Ed Bradley reports from Houston.
In his speech last night, the president had two targets which are at the heart of the economic problems of this country.
Energy is our most urgent legislative priority, one in which our very security as a nation is at stake, and I'm going to go into it tonight in some depth because I have some points I want to make to you. Inflation is our most serious domestic problem at this moment.
And the president was well aware that in this major oil-producing state, his energy programs have not been a hit.
The other subject I want to talk about in closing is energy. And if there is any applause in the next 5 minutes, I want you to know that I will consider it the moral equivalent of hospitality.
Mr. Carter repeated his call for an energy program based on conservation, incentives for new production, and conversion to alternative energy sources. On inflation, the president said the time has come to draw the line.
There comes a time when we must look beyond each narrow interest, no matter how beneficent it might be, to the overriding interest of our nation. And that time has come. I'm prepared to draw the line. I will be the one to say no. I ask you for your support, even when you have to be the one to make a sacrifice.
Once again, Mr. Carter called on the private sector to hold prices within recommended guidelines. Ed Bradley, CBS News, with the president in Texas.
Afterwards, the Democratic candidate for governor of Texas, John Hill, said that Mr. Carter is wrong in energy. Hill wants price deregulation. After fast action by the California legislature, only the signature of Governor Edmund Jerry Brown is now needed to supply the funds to temporarily fill some of the gap created by that state's Proposition 13. Jerry Drinkwater has more from Sacramento.
This morning, the governor will sign the rescue bill, the appropriations measure saving Californians from the massive cutbacks resulting from passage of Proposition 13. But in an address to the state last night, he warned of his worries about the financial future of this most populous state.
This Proposition 13 is going to require some fundamental changes. And as the public sector slows, then the private sector must give more of itself. And that means me, it means you. It means the family, it means the churches, it means an outpouring of that old-fashioned spirit of self-reliance, of mutual aid, and cooperation.
He also called for sensible controls of state government salaries, pointing critically to state-owned mansions and other perks of top university and other government servants. When the current surpluses run out, the surpluses that are now to compensate for the loss in property tax revenue, he called for drastic overall evaluation of government spending, and he appointed a blue ribbon commission to come up with recommendations for the future. As a final note, the governor pushed for a constitutional amendment to peg government spending to the growth in personal income. Terry Drinkwater, CBS News, Sacramento.
In Los Angeles, as a result of Proposition 13, the end of the school term yesterday was the end for the entire summer, and that may not be all, as we hear from Mike Pulsifer of CBS station KNX.
The school district in Los Angeles is the second biggest in the nation. Almost 600,000 students attend classes at schools in the district. But the end of school this year was not as important to most people involved in the system as the coming months. Months that will determine what will happen to education, not just in Los Angeles, but throughout California. Los Angeles Unified School District Superintendent William Johnston says it's virtually certain that there will be cuts beyond the major one already made, elimination of summer school. But he says the future is still up in the air.
I cannot be sure exactly at this point in time how many dollars will be available to the district. There are discussions, talks, conversations, rumors about the possibility that our loss would be 10% or a little more than 10%, which would be, in effect, I think, good news considering where we were a few weeks back.
Johnston and his fellow administrators have their work cut out for them. The head of one teachers union says if any instructors are laid off, no teachers will go to work in the fall. Mike Pulsifer for CBS News, Los Angeles.
Explosions at a chemical plant in Azusa lit up the California sky for miles around last night. Authorities report one person killed and 10 injured. Thousands of demonstrators are massing today to launch another demonstration against the Seabrook Atomic Power Plant in New Hampshire. Richard Wagner reports.
Today's demonstration is the fourth in the last 2 years at the controversial nuclear power plant site. The difference is that this one is legal. The Anti-Nuclear Clamshell Alliance has received permission from the state and the Public Service Company of New Hampshire to occupy an 18-acre tract next to the construction site of the nuclear facility. The demonstration is expected to attract up to 5,000 opponents of nuclear power plants over the weekend. Pete Seeger and Arlo Guthrie will sing, and Drs. Benjamin Spock and Barry Commoner, among others, will address the crowd during a Sunday rally. New Hampshire's governor, Meldrum Thompson, has said that if the demonstrators stay within the prescribed 18-acre site, there'll be no trouble. But if any attempt to enter the construction zone, arrests will be made. Hundreds of state police are on standby in the area. The last big demonstration here, in May of last year, resulted in more than 1,400 arrests. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Hampton, New Hampshire.
In Chicago, members of the American Nazi Party are planning a demonstration today, and so are other groups. Bob Faw sets the scene.
American Nazis call Saturday's rally a victory celebration, but Chicago police are worried about violence, fearful that several thousand counter-demonstrators will confront and taunt the small, impoverished band which espouses the teachings of Adolf Hitler. Most Chicago police leaves have been canceled, and several hundred police officers will be on standby duty as the Nazis gather to applaud a recent federal court decision which enables them to assemble in a Chicago park on July 9th. Their right of free speech restored, the Nazis canceled a rally scheduled Sunday in the largely Jewish community of Skokie, where leaders planned a counter-demonstration of up to 50,000 people. Now, that too has been called off, and a coalition of Jewish groups says it will ignore the Nazis on Saturday, but others will not. One Jewish organization will conduct a prayer vigil nearby. The Militant Jewish Defense League says it will protest wherever the brown shirts appear. Some local black groups promise to do likewise. And what worries many here is that Saturday is just the beginning, the first in a chain reaction of confrontation and potential violence, which now seems likely to accompany the Nazis whenever they appear. Bob Fall, CBS News, Chicago.
In Cleveland, Ohio, Mayor Dennis Kucinich says bring on the recall election and predicts he will win. The Cleveland City Council yesterday accepted as valid the petitions for the recall election and will set the date soon. It probably will be in August. The former state treasurer of Alabama, Melba Till Allen, was convicted early today of a second violation of the state ethics law. Mrs. Allen already has been sentenced to a 3-year prison term on the first conviction.